podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Aren't you glad that our Savior Jesus came into this world, that we can sing those words, Emmanuel, God with us? What a difference He makes. What would this world be like without Him? Well, I think we're beginning to see that, because there are plenty of folks who have dismissed Him from their lives. And so there have been some troubling statistics that came out this week about the average death age in the United States of America. You would think with all the advances in modern medicine, you would expect the average age of death in the United States to go up, right? To go up. But in reality, it's going down. Little by little, each year, we are living shorter lives. Not in leaps and bounds, but in measurable statistics for sure. And the usual culprits are to blame. The top 10 causes of death remain the same. Heart disease, cancer, unintentional injuries, chronic lower respiratory diseases, stroke, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, influenza and pneumonia, kidney disease. Anybody have all of those? So some of you have had some of those anyway. Suicide is number 10. And the suicide rate is going up. It's going up. But there's another cause of death that is also rising, that is skewing the numbers, and that is drug overdose. In 1999, there were 6 overdose deaths for every 100,000 people in the United States. In 2017, there were 22 overdose deaths for every 100,000 people. Something's going wrong. Something's going wrong. I don't think it's necessarily just access to drugs. I think it has to do with those who are taking these drugs and the experience of their lives. The sad thing is that for every person who dies of a disease that they cannot control, that they did not ask for, there seems to be another who takes their life through suicide or drug overdose. It's one of life's inequities, if you think about that for a moment. Those who want to hang on to their life and don't make it versus those who are healthy and no longer want to live. So where does this condition originate? Well, for that this morning, we're actually going to turn to an obscure Christmas carol and, of course, the Word of God. So this month, as we navigate toward Christmas, we're going to dig out some forgotten Christmas carols. What are forgotten Christmas carols, you might ask? Well, we've got our A-list Christmas carols, right? Like Joy to the World, O Come All Ye Faithful, Silent Night. Right? And then you have your B-list Christmas carols, like It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, Angels We Have Heard on High, Away in a Manger, O Come Emmanuel. That might be a B-list Christmas carol. Then you hit your C-list Christmas carols, like Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. I think we sang one this morning. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. The ones that, you know, they pop up at Christmas time, but they're not necessarily going on the radio 24/7, and you can't recall all the words beyond, you know, maybe the first line or so. And there's your D-list carols as well, such as Baby It's Cold Outside and Jingle Bell Rock and Frosty the Snowman, and I'm just joking about those. However, there are also Christmas carols that are just completely forgotten. They're Christmas carols that were written, and they became popular, and then they just kind of fell off the map, and we haven't even heard them anymore. So I wanted to revive some of these and consider for a moment what is the meaning behind some of these and what they might have to teach us. So the Christmas carol I want us to think about this morning is The Maker of the Sun and Moon, written by Lawrence Houseman in 1902. I want you to listen to it. I think we have a video of it if it works. And let's watch and pay attention to the lyrics of this carol.
Oh,
Expect to hear that at your front door when the carolers come by this season. I wouldn't expect to hear it on the radio, except there is one duo that has written an updated version of this. It's Jenny and Tyler, I think their name is, Christian singers. They're kind of hipster, and you know what hipsters do? They like to pull obscure things out and try to refresh them and make them new, and so they've done that. This song revolves around who Jesus is. And perhaps it's something that we don't talk about as often as we should. The proof behind that is this, that Christianity Today magazine published a survey that was handed out throughout among Christians in the United States. And here was the question that was asked. Okay. So do you agree or disagree with this statement? Jesus was the first and greatest being created by God the Father. That was the question. Do you agree or disagree? Jesus was the first and greatest being created by God the Father. 78% of Christians agreed with that statement. 18% disagreed, and I can only think the 4% just decided not to answer it or they didn't know. So what is it? What is it? Was Jesus created by God the Father? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Let's turn, first of all, to our passage of Scripture we're going to look at this morning. It's Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. And if you'd like to turn in your pew Bible, that's page 833. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. So one might look at this passage of Scripture and think, well, it says that He is the firstborn over all creation, so that must mean that God the Father created Him first. But actually, that word firstborn does not necessarily mean, in the original language, that someone is born at all. In fact, the word simply means that this person has priority, that the eldest in the family was the one who held all of the cards, the firstborn son. And so Jesus is described in human terms as the firstborn son, even though, and the only begotten son, even though throughout Scripture it is obvious that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity who has been existing for all eternity, is uncreated, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, not created by God the Father, but present with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit from eternity past through eternity future. That this Jesus, the Son of God, is our God. Now, when we call Him the firstborn, what we're saying is that He has priority and power and authority. He has say over all. But it says that all things were created by Him and for Him and through Him, and that He holds all things together. That apart from this person, Jesus Christ, that everything just explodes, that life has no purpose or meaning, and nothing makes sense. There are other verses in the Bible that teach us about who Jesus is. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," talking about Jesus. "He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." That's what we call the incarnation. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, is God being made in human likeness. That's who Jesus is. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." It is through Christ that the universe has been made. That God is the exact representation of God. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is what sustains and holds together all things. You see how all of these verses woven together present us with a pretty clear theme. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 6. "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." And so we recognize that Jesus is not the first and greatest being created by God the Father. That Jesus, the Son of God, has been in existence with God the Father and God the Spirit as God the Son for all eternity past. He is existing and uncreated. However, there was a time in the history of this world when that all-existing, uncreated, eternal being took on the form of a human child and came into this world in order to redeem the people who had sinned against God, in order to restore our relationship with God the Father, in order that He might come and live a perfect, sinless life, unlike any life that we've ever lived, in order to take our sins and then go to the cross and die as our substitute there, so that all who put their faith in Him are saved, redeemed, restored, that our sins are washed away. If we will put our faith in Jesus Christ, this one who came, God who came in flesh incarnate. So who is Jesus? Well, we understand that the focus of Christmas is the focus of creation. See, Jesus is not just the focus of the Christmas story. He is the focus of all of our stories. He is the focus of creation. He is the focus of the universe. And He really deserves to be the focus of my life and the focus of your life. Back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." So apparently, Mr. Housman, when he wrote this beautiful carol that is now obscure, when he wrote, "The maker of the sun and moon, the maker of the earth, lo, late in time, a fairer boon, himself is brought to earth," was encapsulating the Christmas story in a very beautiful way. Because the first thing we see here in Colossians chapter 1 is that Jesus is the maker of creation. Jesus is the maker of creation. Since He is your maker, you owe your life to Him. Every day that you live in this world is a gift that has been granted to you by Jesus Christ. That all of your energy that you possess originates with Him. That He wired you the way that you are because He had plans and purpose for you. You are the way you are because that is what He desired for you to be. Now, we tend to add layers and layers of sin on what God desired for us. But, you know, the way God has created you physically and spiritually, internally, and your DNA, your unique fingerprint, your personality, He made you the way that you are. He is your maker. And problems come in this life when we think we know better than our maker. Imagine that, when we begin to use our lives and our bodies to do things that the designer never intended for us to do. Here in the Word, the Word of God, throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, we find an instruction manual for how we should live our lives, how life should be led as intended by our Maker. And whenever we deviate from that design, we run into all sorts of trouble and difficulty and despair and depression and loss of purpose and guilt and hopelessness. And you wonder why some things that you purchase have a ridiculous warning on them. Have you ever purchased an item and read the warnings on them? Probably because some person at one time or another decided that they were going to try and use that particular product for this purpose, and a lawsuit ensued, and then the manufacturer had to put this stupid statement on these things. Why else would you have to put "for outdoor use only" on a lawnmower? Really? Why else? Someone thought it'd be a good idea. Hey, it works outdoors. Why don't we bring it inside? We can use it as a vacuum cleaner. Forget the fumes, forget the gasoline. We're just going to bring this thing indoors. Our shag carpet's a little bit too tall for us. We're going to bring it down a notch. We'll set that mower a little low, bring it in, we'll take care of that problem right now. We'll mulch up that carpet good. How about this? Do not use while sleeping on a blow dryer. Do not use while sleeping. How do you do that? How do you do that? Someone somewhere was using their blow dryer in their bathtub, fell asleep, dropped it in the bathtub, and thus the manufacturer had to put "do not use while sleeping." Or, here's a good one, "this product not intended for use as a dental drill." Now, what do you think the product is? It was a Dremel. A Dremel. You know what that is? A Dremel is? It's just a small little power saw. You know, why not? Why not? If you have a tooth that's bothering you, you know, or your wife has a tooth that's bothering her, why not take this little thing and find a way to get it in there and fix the problem yourself? Save you a big bill. Here's the best one. "Do not eat" is on Apple iPod instructions. I mean, it is an Apple after all, right? But "do not eat," because that music sounds good, but you don't need it in your stomach, right? We have a wonderful God who created us and loves us and wants us to live our lives according to His plan. And this God sent His Son into this world to redeem us and to save us from our sin and our stupidity. And yet, the world continues to experiment with unintended uses for these lives, and Scripture does not stutter on this matter. In the book of Romans, it says, "To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life." If you seek God's glory, God's honor, and you seek eternal life through Jesus Christ, God will give it to you. But those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Is that hard to understand? Apparently, for some, it's difficult. We get lost in rejecting the truth and following evil and falling out of step with God. Jesus is the maker of creation. Shouldn't we pay attention to our maker? Because life is better when we live according to the manufacturer's intended use. So here also in the book of Colossians in chapter 1, verse 16, it says that in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Then it also says, "whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." So it's talking about all of these leaders. powers and rulers and authorities, whether they are earthly authorities or whether they are heavenly authorities, whether we're talking about demons or angels beyond the things we can't see, or whether we're talking about dictators and presidents and governments, things that we can see, Jesus is the maker of all of that. Number two, Jesus is the majesty of creation. Jesus is the one who sits upon the throne of all creation, that there is no power like Jesus, that the baby born in the manger is the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. He's the ruler of nations. He is all-powerful God. There is no power on heaven or in earth, seen or unseen, that can rival his authority. All pretenders need either to bow before his throne and his majesty or brace for eternal misery. That's the decision, right? Am I going to come before the ruler of this world, the ruler of all creation, and bow before him and surrender to him? Or am I going to live my life at cross purposes with him? Do so at your own risk. We read also in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 that I pray, Paul says, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, in order that you may know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably greater power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Come up with the name of a powerful person or a powerful force. And Jesus is far above all rule and all authority and all power. And Paul says, I pray that you might understand that, and in doing so, you might surrender to him, and that you might have that power and that authority as your God and as your guide. He is Lord over all. He is Lord over all. The question is he Lord over you? See, in actuality, in reality, yes, he is Lord over you. But is he your willing Lord? Are you giving him the leadership of your life? Why would anyone attempt to shake their fist at the king and attempt to live life on their own terms when that king is benevolent and loving and compassionate and wants nothing more than for you to thrive in this life? Why would you want to, when you have this all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, all-compassionate king on the throne who desires to see your life thrive? There's another leader, you see. There is an imposter who's always trying to convince you that his way is the good way, that God's way is boring, that God doesn't have your best interests in mind, that life could be so much exciting apart from him. And so many in this world ignore the baby in the manger, the Savior on the cross, the good king on the throne, in order to pursue pleasure and worldliness that will never last and will never satisfy. Jesus is the majesty of creation. So bow your knee and surrender your life to his leadership, and you will never be the same, and you will never want to serve any other once you serve him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So not only is Jesus the maker of creation, the majesty of creation, he's also the meaning of creation. None of it makes any sense apart from him. Right? This world is useless and lost, and it makes absolutely no sense without Jesus Christ on the throne at the center as the Lord of all. He is the meaning behind creation. And Christmas is a time when we celebrate Jesus, how he came into this world, the light of the world, into the darkness, to expose the darkness, to defeat it. And in Jesus, the world finds its meaning and its purpose, and we as individuals find our lives in Christ. We know this, that those who pursue the things of this world will eventually become disappointed, disillusioned, lost. Just remember the story of the prodigal son. Right? Remember how he got his inheritance and he went off to enjoy it. How long did that last? Before he lost all of his friends and found himself wallowing with the pigs and desiring the things that they were eating and thinking that maybe the servants' lives were better than his life. And sometimes we find ourselves in that same place as that prodigal son as we pursue the things of this world and walking away from our Father and become lost and hopeless and in despair. Think about Solomon. Solomon wrote a whole book about this. If you want to read in the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes, read it sometime, where Solomon talks about life and how apart from God, all things are meaningless, that none of it makes sense apart from God taking his place front and center on the throne of your heart. And Solomon was one of the wealthiest men who ever lived, one of the most successful people this world has ever known. He had all of the toys. He had all of the things that a man could want, and yet none of it had any meaning or purpose to him in the end, apart from the Lord. When you keep searching and you never find and you're never satisfied, what happens to you? All that's left is despair and disappointment and hopelessness. And then you begin to look for relief from that despair. We see folks all around us going 100% into the things of this world, looking for some type of satisfaction, looking for answers to fill the emptiness that they feel inside. They take drugs in order to escape the pain of hopelessness. Some, in increasing numbers, even end their lives in the midst of that hopelessness because they can't see past the next moment. Life has become so hard. What's missing? It's the meaning that's missing. You see, we were never meant to be the center of all things. The world was never meant to be the center of all things. Jesus is the center of all things. He is the nucleus around whom our lives revolve. If you take him away, we float aimlessly into nothingness with no purpose and no direction. Is it any wonder that our world and the people of our world are experiencing what it's like to become lost without Christ? So Christmas is a great example of this. Christmas is a wonderful example of this. Here is a holiday that we have set aside to worship our God and to remember the birth of our Savior. And yet, we at times exchange the gifts and the glitter for the truth of the incarnation and the truth of the salvation received in Christ. I love the gifts and the glitter. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy everything about Christmas. I always have. However, if Christ is not at the center of that, none of it makes any sense. It really has no meaning. And if that's true of Christmas, it's very true of your whole life as well. That all of the things that we pursue in our life, each day when we wake up and we say, what am I going to do today? What purpose is there for me? Apart from the Savior Jesus Christ, apart from your Maker, your Majesty, and the meaning of all things, it doesn't make any sense, and it leads to nowhere. The Maker of the sun and the moon is your Maker. If you miss the focus of Christmas, you will miss the focus of creation, and you will miss the focus of your life. Will you surrender your life to the Maker, to Jesus, in new ways? Will you look for opportunities to surrender your life more deeply and more intimately to Him? Will you allow Him to take the throne of your world? Maybe you've noticed that you've been slipping a little bit. Maybe you've noticed that you've been pushing Him off the throne step by step, and you've been sitting there, thinking that you're going to find satisfaction and fulfillment there, but you're beginning to realize that the more you push him off that throne, the more lost and disappointed you become. Will you seek to follow God's plan for you? Nothing else will ever satisfy. No other way but Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So look at the last verse of our forgotten carol. O perfect love, outpassing sight. O light beyond our ken, that means it's beyond our knowledge, it's some kind of Scottish thing. Come down through all the world tonight and heal the hearts of men. Shouldn't that be our prayer? That Christ would come, not just as the child at Christmas, but as the maker and the majesty and the meaning of our lives now, that he might come and heal this world, beginning with me, beginning with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you today, Lord, for who you are. We worship your name. We are grateful that we have a God who has existed for all eternity, a God who created this world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne of this world, a Savior who came in the flesh and redeemed us from our sin and rose from the dead, and who is all-powerful. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would allow you to be all-powerful in our lives. Lord, that we would quit walking our own way, quit trying to find our own meaning and purpose. And Lord, that we would allow you to live at the center of our hearts and our lives once again. And Father, in doing so, that we might find joy that we never knew existed. Father, may we bow our knee before the maker of the sun and moon, the maker of our lives, the maker of our world, our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.